وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين، جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on you, Hazrat Maulana Salim Saab. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahi rrahmani rrahim. Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika lahu wa bidhalika umirtu. وأنا أول المسلمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, tonight was the recitation of the 8th para and the 7th Taraweeh, meaning the 7th of the month of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention in the previous para of the mushrikeen's request that if they are shown a physical and miracle, then they will believe. So at the beginning of the 8th para, we are informed that they are liars. Even if they are shown a physical miracle, so much so that if a dead person from the grave comes to life and speak to them, they will still not believe. So thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is consoled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should not become worried about their opposition, their mockery and their denial. The shayateen from men and jinn have always followed this pattern with every Nabi. Besides this, there is no need for the miracle they desire to prove your Nabuwwat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed you with many miracles, and the greatest being the Quran and Kareem. So therefore, in spite of seeing and hearing this miracle, if they deny, they do not be perturbed, because many people living on earth are such that they leave guidance and inclined towards misguidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, if you have to follow most of the people in the world, they will lead you astray from the path of Allah. In this verse, there is negation of Western democracy, because in it majority opinion is taken into consideration, even if it is contrary to the Quran and Sunnah, whereas it is the unanimous belief of the Muslims that if all the people in the world are unanimous on anything which is against the clear judgment of the Quran and Sunnah, then their unanimity will not be regarded and will be rejected. Other important points mentioned in the Quran, in this particular surah, we are told that the example of a believer is like a living person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given nur and light, and the example of a disbeliever is that of a dead person who is drowned in darkness. And also iman and guidance is only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. He grants it to whomsoever He wishes. So after mentioning the guided and misguided groups, Allah Ta'ala states that He will gather them all on the day of Qiyamah. Then every person will be rewarded or punished according to his actions. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Now, from among the many foolish acts which the mushrikeen used to perpetrate, one was that from the animals and crops they would not allow a portion, they would allow a portion for it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would allow a portion for their partners also which they had ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this also in the Quran and Majid. Then after mentioning their foolishness, Allah Ta'ala reminds them of His favors, that He is that being who has created gardens and different types of fruit, like olives and pomegranates. وهو الذي أنشأ جنات معروشات والنخل والزرع مختلفا أكله والزيتون والرمان. He is that Allah who created small and big animals for the purpose of carrying of loads and for obtaining meat and milk. The choice of regarding these animals as well as other edibles as halal and haram lies only with Allah. Whatever He wishes, He declares halal, and whatever He wishes, He declares haram. So after refuting the beliefs and the claims of the mushrikeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives 10 pertinent advices upon which all heavenly shariats are unanimous, upon which all religions call towards. By practicing on them, man's success is guaranteed and he attains a life of respect and honor in this world and the hereafter, which Allah ta'ala desires to grant him. And the 10 advices are, قل تعالوا أتلوا ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا. Worship Allah alone and do not ascribe any partners with Him. So this is a very, very important teaching of deen in as far as our aqeed is concerned, that we must not ascribe a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no shirk whatsoever. Then the second one was treat one's parents kindly and do not cause any verbal or physical harm to them. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْلَاقٍ. Do not kill one's children due to fear of poverty or disgrace and shame. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. We give you risk and sustenance and them as well. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. And abstain from all types of immorality, inward and outward. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. To kill any human being unjustly is haram. This is an extremely grave sin. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهِ. Do not use the wealth of an orphan incorrectly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. And in weighing and measuring, you must give full. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا. And when you speak, you must be just and fair to all humans. And وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَ. Even though they may be your close family persons, or they may be your enemy, whatever it is, you have to be just and truthful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِأَحْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُ. And fulfill your pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that we must approach the wealth of the orphans only in a favorable manner until he reaches maturity. So these are the pertinent things that have been mentioned in this particular surah here. And after mentioning these advices, Allah Ta'ala commanded Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to proclaim openly that Allah Ta'ala, my Rabb, has granted me guidance to the correct path. And this is the same straight religion of our father and the father of Anbiya Alayhi Salaam, Hazrat Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. And he was not from the polytheists. Say verily, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. Verily my salah, my other forms of worship, my living and my death, all my actions are only for Allah, and from these actions I desire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the master of the universe. He has no partner. With this I have been commanded, and I am the first to submit. So the surah ends on this point, that this world and whatever is in it is only as a trial and examination, so that the believer and the disbeliever, good and evil, may be differentiated. Now we go on to Surah A'raf that was also recited in the Taraweeh tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the surah speaks about His everlasting miracle, the noble Quran. It is mentioned that the Quran al-Majid is the greatest miracle, you know, and the greatest favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon man. In this surah, man's attention is also turned to another favor of Allah ta'ala. All of mankind have been created from one father, so that they may assist each other and so that they may remember that they are brothers. So similarly, in this surah, there is mention of the honor bestowed upon man by Allah Ta'ala. He created man with his hands, blew his spirit into him, and then commanded the angels to prostrate before him. So this incident is also included in this particular surah here. And one speciality of Surah Araf worth mentioning is that Allah Ta'ala has addressed man four times continuously with the title of Ya Bani Adam. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, qad anzalna alaykum libasa yuwari sawatikum wa risha. In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, la yaftinannakum ash-shaytan kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannah. Then Allah Ta'ala says also, Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says again, Ya Bani Adam, imma ya'tiyannakum rusulun minkum yaqussuna alaykum ayati. So this is a speciality, and we'll just discuss each one in brief. In no other surah are these four vocations used. The first proclamation is in verse number 6, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number 26, in which Allah ta'ala mentions his favor of clothing. O children of Adam alayhi salam, we have sent down upon you clothing which conceals your private parts and is a means of beautification. And the clothing of taqwa is better. The second proclamation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us to save ourselves from the evil of shaitan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O children, let not shaitan deceive you, as he had taken your parents out of Jannah, removing from them their clothing, so that he can make apparent their private parts. And the third proclamation, verse number 31, O children of Adam and Islam, adopt clothing of beauty at the time of every salah, eat, drink, and do not waste. Verily, Allah Ta'ala does not like those who waste. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 35, O children of Adam, Ya Bani Adam, if a messenger comes to you from amongst you who conveys to you my verses, then he who chooses taqwa and rectifies himself, there will be no fear upon them, nor will they grieve. So this repeated address is to the progeny of Adam alayhi salam, so that they can be saved from the tricks and the wiles of shaitan. And shaitan, through the clothing that people don and the way they wear their apparel, tries and lead them into the wrong path. And we see that fashion goes in this particular direction against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many, many aspects. And today we see the deluge of immorality in the West, especially because of shamelessness that has become so manifest. Now, the mushrikeen will make the tawaf of the Baytullah naked also. So the proof for this evil action and other similar evils was that their ancestors would do the same. So sometimes they would say that Allah Ta'ala had commanded them likewise. So refuting this claim, Allah Ta'ala states that he does not command any action of immodesty. Then in the 11th and the 12th ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two such groups who are completely opposite to each other in beliefs, thoughts, and practice. So one group has chosen the road of stubbornness, pride, and kufr. The final result is nothing else but Jahannam. And the second group treads the path of iman, obedience, submission, and compliance. They are, by the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worthy of Jannah. So when these group reach their abodes, the Quran Kareem describes the conversation which will take place with each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ, that the people of Jannah will ask those in the fire, today, do you now have conviction in the truthfulness of Allah's promises or not? They will confess in the answer and they will say, yes, we have found the promise to be true and correct. So when the people of Jahannam become agitated due to the intense heat, thirst, and hunger, then they will stretch out their hands, begging the believers to give some food and drink. However, it is apparent that their asking will be fruitless. So this is also discussed in this particular surah. And there's a third group of people which the Quran calls Ashabul A'raf. They are such people who are believers but remain behind in doing good actions. They will neither be entered into Jannah nor Jahannam. Their judgment will be delayed. Finally, Allah Ta'ala will grant them permission to enter Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this also in Surah Al-A'raf. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His greatness and His power and His oneness. The seven skies that He created, one on top of the other, each one is a dome over the other, and their vastness and their greatness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the vastness of His arsh and His throne as well. And also mention is made about the six Anbiya, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Hud alayhi salam, Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. So these incidents are mentioned to give solace to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the difficulties inflicted by his enemies, and to show the evil end of proud people and the good ending of the pious, to warn that in the court of Allah Ta'ala there is sometimes a wait for justice to be meted out, and to present a proof of the truthfulness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nubuwwat, that in spite of being unlettered, he used to present the lost scrolls of history in accordance with the facts. So, and to present incidents from which man can take lesson, and to offer as advice as well. So there's a lot to have learned from the para tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the hidayah to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.